Welcome to the Productivity Mastery Podcast, presented to you by myself, Stoyan Yankov, productivity and performance coach, keynote and TEDx speaker, and co-author of the Perform Methodology, and the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. Join me on a journey to discover what some of the world's leading professionals do to be more productive, create peak performing teams, and build successful global companies. New episodes weekly. And now, enjoy today's episode. And we're live again. Welcome back to Productivity Mastery. Hope everybody's doing well in this super hot summer. Or maybe you're listening to the episode in the winter, but now in the summer, it's super hot. And today I have another episode, which I have the feeling might turn into one of your favorite episodes if you really stay with us and listen closely and attentively. My guest today, his name is Julian Hayes II. He's an author. He's a hybrid athlete. He's the founder of Executive Health. His boutique, Concierge, helps forward-thinking CEOs, executives, and other high-achieving individuals live longer and live better. He's the host of Executive Health and Life podcast. Make sure to check it out. And last but not least, he has more than 300 articles published in leading medias like Inc.com, Entrepreneur.com, Chief Executive Success Magazine, and many, many more. I said last but not least, but I just wanted to say I was really fascinated talking to him today that he's going to the gym twice a day. This dude is just awesome, and I can't wait to learn from Julian. Julian, this morning, how are you feeling?
I'm super fantastic. Thank you for the gracious introduction. I have some pressure to live up to now that you said this might be one of their favorites. So I'm looking forward to it. Pressure's fun, right? I am curious. First thing is, what's your definition of hot? So I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, the South, right? And humidity and heat is you're born with it. So I'm curious, what's hot?
Man, I'm not really good with hot, so probably my definition of hot is not so good. But like for me, 35 Celsius. I don't know what's that.
Okay. Let's see.
It's already 90, quite hot.
90s. Probably the 90s. Yeah, I think it's in the 90s. If my math's correct. Yeah.
So tell me about this, man. I mean, look, I'm from Europe. I'm from Eastern Europe. But when we hear Tennessee, it sounds exotic. You know, tell me what's Tennessee like, and what was it like growing up in this state?
Well, I want to clip that part where you said Tennessee sounds exotic, because we never get Tennessee sounds exotic, right? So I want to clip that. Anyone from Tennessee that's listening right now, I want you to clip that and say, this is how people think of Tennessee outside of the states. So that's what I have to first acknowledge, is that Tennessee is exotic to you. I like that. That's music to my ears. This is already going great. Now, Tennessee, though, for the most part, is not typically seen as exotic in the States. You know, you have your New Yorks, which is cosmopolitan. I love New York. I live in New York. You got Miami. You got LA. You got all the stuff on the coast, right? That's the exotic. That's the exciting stuff. Tennessee is really the nickname's the Volunteer State, right? Southern hospitality, this region, I don't care what anyone says in the States, the South, the most pleasant people, the most hospitable people. So I'm just outside of Nashville. Nashville's growing astronomically. Over the last few years, it's one of the top growing cities in the whole country. So when I grew up here, this was not really a cool place to be. But over time, a lot of growth has happened here now. A lot of companies and businesses are coming here now. So it is becoming an it destination. Probably one of the things it's known for is randomly, it's a huge industry for like bridal parties or bachelorette parties, right? So we have these things like a wagon. and you pedal on there and people are drinking and stuff. I'm not really a beer guy, so I don't do those. So you're pedaling, and then you have a bunch of bridal different parties. So it's a destination city for that. Of course, it's the country music capital of the world, pretty much. So it's a big country music festival. I know a little country music to be dangerous. It's not my go-to music, but I know a little in case I need to, you know, break a line dance out or something, right? I can do it.
Do you have a favorite song you can sing?
Sing? No, I cannot sing. You do not want to hear me sing. The reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now is because I cannot sing. I really love music, but I'm monotone and I don't know how to play instruments. So this was the next best thing to write articles. And in my head, I'm imagining that I'm writing music or something.
Got it, man. Got it.
What did you study
in university? Did you plan to be doing what you're doing today?
Absolutely not. So I went to university. We'll say university. It's college here, but university sounds much more proper anyway. It sounds better. So I'm going to adopt that. So university. So when I went to university, went to UT Knoxville, you know, go Vols and all that good stuff. I was a marketing major in international business, and I wanted to be an idea guy. I wanted to work with like an ad agency or something. I wanted to work in a big office near the top of the building, look over the city, just looking out the window, stroking my chin and thinking of new ad campaigns and stuff, right? And going to cool parties. And so when it got time for an internship, they came over. Now, I told them what I wanted to do. It's like the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or something like that. Matthew McConaughey's job, right? That's how that's how me and my friend picked our majors. You know, this is why you should never take advice from a 20-year-old. Their brains are not even developed yet. So you're doing this. And I'm like, yeah, I just want to be an idea guy. You're like, well, that's a good aspiration, but you know, it all starts with account sales and stuff. I was like, sales? I'm not doing sales. So I pivot. I kept that degree, right? And then I started picking up prereqs. And I was like, I'll be physical therapist. Did internships with that. I talked my way into getting an internship at the hospital, even though I didn't have the degrees or nothing. But, you know, I can tell stories a little bit and just talk. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. And then I got one of my favorite shows is House, MD. So I was like, man, I should be a doctor. That sounds exciting, right? I want to be like House, you know. That specialty doesn't exist because he does everything. But nevertheless, medical school it was. So I took all the prereqs for that. And then I ended up going to New York for medical school. And I was there for a year. And like I said, Nashville and New York, two totally different places. So when I arrive in New York, I'm naive to a lot of things. People are walking extremely fast. People are a little rude. There's an escalator rule. Apparently I was on the left side. And if you're not walking up, you need to be on the right side. So I get cussed out like the first week. Somebody tries to sell me a fake watch. And I'm like, you know, almost like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. This ain't Kansas anymore. I'm like, this ain't Tennessee anymore. And now we're doing this. So I adjust after a few weeks. You know, I adjust to the New York way of life, talking faster, being a little more animated, always looking around like this. You know, you got to be on your, keep your head on the swivel, as they said, because it's a little more dangerous up there. And so, but the thing about New York that really changed my life was, when I got up there, I realized that I was not crazy and that I was not that odd, because you meet some really strange people in New York. And so we went to class and you could, they had iTunes then, and you could, all the lectures on iTunes. I quickly figured out that a lot of the professors, if you're in there for an hour, really anything valuable is only like 20 minutes. The other 40 minutes, they're just talking and it's not going to be relevant on the test. So this is a waste of time. I wanted to explore the city because I didn't have an undergrad experience. I didn't party or anything in undergrad. So I'm a late bloomer and I'm in New York. So I learned how to listen to things at 2 and 3x speed so I can cut time out and then I can go explore the city. So I was out a lot. And during that time when I'm out, you meet so many people with so many different dreams, whether it's with acting, whether it's with building a startup or any type of aspiration. And so I start to realize that there's a difference between being good at something. There's a difference between being passionate about something. And then you can maybe combine those. And this is where I'm sitting in an anatomy exam. It's like 3 hours long. So I'm shaking up my protein. I'm a bro. I'm doing that. And other kids are looking up sweating. Maybe they're a little hungry because they didn't bring their protein shake like I did. And so I'm not even looking up nervous or that I'm really hungry. I'm thinking, oh my God, this ain't it. This ain't it. I love health. But the idea of being a physician was, it was okay. There's only really one type of specialty I wanted to be. And if I wasn't going to be that, then I didn't want to do none of that other stuff. And so I come back home and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going back to school. And I was like, I figured out what I want to do with my life. I think I did. And so I'm excited. I'm telling everyone. And I didn't get the praised good job. Yes, we're excited for you. I got, are you sure? Do we need to drug test you? What happened up there? Are you sure? I get all this fear thrown at me. I was happy because I think I really figured out I wasn't just going with the flow. I wasn't just doing what's easy. School is easy for me. You read a book, you take a test, and you'll probably get a known path, right? Very self-explanatory. But this path was exciting. It's like an adventure. And I was like, why is nobody else excited for me? And so that's when I had to really learn a lot. That was one of my first life, well, one of my many life lessons about this whole thing we call entrepreneurship and just really designing your life. So, but then over the course of time, I started writing, started personal training at a gym, started getting curious, started calling people about things like genetics and all this stuff. And then I just started making it into one hodgepodge thing and making it a one-stop shop. And that's kind of how we get to where we are right now.
Can you maybe, to the audience tuning in right now, maybe give give us an idea about how do you support your clients right now and who are the kind of the profile of people that you serve?
Yeah. So on the surface, these people are a leader of from different in different levels of the organization, or they're a founder and entrepreneur. Now, that's the title, right? What I really look for is what I call attitudinal. There's a certain type of attitude, there's a certain type of person who's going to be attracted to what I do, because I'm a little over the top. I can admit that, right? And so what obsessive. I do, it's obsessive. Yeah, some people, you know, it depends on how we say it, right? On the surface, it's about living longer, living better. What does that mean? It's very broad. So, and when we think about creating a health and longevity plan and a performance plan, I operate under a much more precise method, right? So everyone literally starts off as a blank canvas. It's just a white sheet of paper, or, you know, say we're painting. I'm a terrible painter. And you got this board here. You got a bunch of different things. And you're a blank canvas. And so what I do is I use a bunch of different types of tests, whether it's a genetic testing, there's different blood testings, and a whole host of different other modalities. So I accumulate all this data that's assembling, right? So you can think of a rise to kind of put this into perspective. So number one is I'm assembling, taking all this data so I can get a story of who you are. And then the next step is the R, that's the reviewing. So we're going to review all this data. You know, how does sleep look? How does your heart rate look? How does different biomarkers look? Then we're going to implement based on that data, based on your life and where you are right now and where you want to go. And then the next part is to the S, which is to sustain and support that. So that's where you do the typical coaching, you do the advising, but there's also, I use wearables. So you're getting constant feedback every day. You're getting a mini checkup every single day as well. So you're really learning how to optimize yourself. And then the next part is evolve, which is, you know, optimal health is, there is no endpoint with that. It's a constant evolution. One of the big mistakes that I've seen people in the past make is they have this 12-week goal to say, I don't know, lose 10 to 15 pounds. They do that. And then what? What's next? So my question is always, what's next? What's next? After this, after that, because this always keeps the void filled. Because as we know, if you have the void that's empty after you're accomplishing a goal, you're going to go back into your old habits. This is why you see people on this seesaw roller coaster with their weight, is that they'll do good for 90 days or something. They'll go on this plan for 90 days. And then they have nothing else to fill that void after. accomplishing the 90-day goal. And so they're going to revert back to old habits. So that's kind of that methodology in a nutshell, but it's basically being very, very, very precise into making you the most optimal performing version of yourself while also keeping in long-term in mind. So I want you to be a high performer at 70, not just existing in life, but thriving in life, performing. Maybe you're not doing what you're doing right now, but you are maybe the next iteration of that. You know, I really respect our elders and I think they bring so much wisdom. And, you know, personally, I don't have a lot of those elders. They're gone already. You know, they're gone much too soon because they didn't have this type of information. They didn't. And they also for a lot of different reasons. And so it's a bunch of things that really got me here. But I'm really just focused on total human optimization.
And I'm really happy that I have you on the podcast. I'm sure everybody listening will get even more interested in these type of topics. We have a lot of executives, managers, entrepreneurs listening to the podcast. And maybe, first of all, I appreciate that your approach is so personalized and precise. But for the listeners, where should they start? Like, if you can maybe give us an idea about what are the main struggles that you observe your clients are having?
Yeah. The first thing is, I don't even know if it's a struggle. I think it's a universal struggle for most people. Is most people do not have a definition of what optimal health and energy means to them, what it even looks like to them. So first thing is to create a vision. You think about any company, they're going to, and you think about the P for perform, it's a purpose and values, right? And it's the same thing with your health. You need values, you need a purpose, you need a direction, a North Star of where you're even going. My definition of optimal health and performance may be different from yours. It's probably different from a lot of listeners. You know, I want to do some extra things that maybe they don't want to do. So really get in detail of how that looks, how that feels, how do you look, how do you dress, how's your posture, every single aspect. Really get in touch with that because the feeling is the secret. The feeling, that's what it's all about that drives us. A lot of times, it's not about losing weight. It's about the feeling that that brings from doing that. I thought about being a scrawny 165-pound kid and just, you know, dreaming, aspiring to the day that I can get to 200 pounds. And there's a feeling that it gets. It's just a number on the scale and going to like a body fat scan. But it's the feeling that that gives. And that's what's going to keep us going. That's what's going to keep us inspired because motivation is fleeting. I don't feel like running most days. I don't feel like lifting most days. Let me tell you, I am naturally lazy and a procrastinator by default. But there's an inspiration. There's a feeling oftentimes that gets me to do these things that I don't want to do. So that's one of the first things is to really diagnose yourself, to really audit yourself and know how you operate. Some people are motivated by proving other people wrong. Some people are motivated for family members. And that's a huge thing for them. Some people are like me. You're motivated internally with yourself. You're in competition with yourself. You crave progress and evolution. You need to see growth. So that's how I set up my life to see that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to create an anti-vision. That's the opposite of the vision here. I want you to create an enemy. Enemies are powerful. You know, so there's an anti-vision. There's an anti-Julian who I absolutely loathe and hate and never want to become. And I think about this person some days when I'm not wanting to run because maybe it's a little too hot or it's raining or something, right? I think about that person and I'm like, do you want to be that person? And the answer is no. So I'm going to get out there and do it because I'm not going to let that person win and show up. So that's the vision mindset part. Now, a little tactics now is that sometimes people that are high performers, they're typically type A. Type A is good to a certain extent, but when it comes to health, you can't just always have your foot on the gas and just go, 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 go. It's a delicate balance and pendulum and dance that you have to have with that. So a lot of times it's easy for these people to exercise, to work out. That's not the problem. They're not lazy by any means. The problem that they suffer from is the recovery, the regeneration aspect. So it's the sleep. It's the stress mitigation, not getting rid of stress. Stress is good, but it's all how you mitigate it and control it. So those aspects for them, if you wanted to more scientifically, you can say the sympathetic, parasympathetic. Sympathetic's flight, flight. It's go, go, go. Your foot's on the brake. Parasympathetic, rest and relaxation. That's the brake. A lot of people need to start putting their foot on the brake a little bit. I'm not, and balance is going to look different to all of us. So I'm not saying to lose your edge a little bit. I'm saying to learn how to operate with it, to learn how to dance with it. So that's the big distinguishing factor there. Because the, actually, if you take care of your recovery and your regeneration, you're actually going to become much more efficient and effective in the long run in every single facet of your life. So that's the huge one right there.
So you're working out twice a day, you told me before the podcast. Mm-hmm. I wonder what would be your recommendation, so we can quantify it and make it simple for the people listening. Mm-hmm. What would be your recommendation to the busy CEOs, mm-hmm. C-suite, you know, people out there? How many times per week would you recommend this kind of an optimal balance in between their busy schedules, but also taking good care of their health?
Okay. No, you don't need to work out two times a day. So most people probably could, because of it will probably break their body down earlier. But I will say that that's the exciting part, is to completely, you know, beat your body up. Because over time, you're going to make it accustomed to handling this volume. That's a whole nother story. For everyone, you know, especially for those types of people that you mentioned, having some sort of activity every day is pivotal, because as an entrepreneur, as an executive, you're not just training your body, but you're training your brain as well. You know, exercise is the most powerful, the most potent longevity tool currency that we have, but it doesn't mean that you have to just lift weights all the time or just run all the time or anything. You know, I always recommend to do a mixture of both, you know, cardiovascular activity, which is aerobic, and then anaerobic, which is strength training. You know, both of those things have a place in anyone's training plan. For me, I would say an optimal schedule, if you're going to do one thing every day, is to maybe lift weights at the gym 3 to 4 times a week. So schedule that out throughout the course of the week, and then do some Zone 2 training, which is it's pretty easy. Don't even worry about the zones if you don't know what that means yet. It's pretty easy cardio exercising, aerobic activity. It's, you can still maintain a pretty good conversation as you're doing it. So that's very important for longevity and helping your VO2 max. So maybe do that about 3 times a week. And then also have at least one day of what you would call more high intensity training, high zone 4, zone 5 training. And that's beneficial as well. Maybe one time a week. So you could probably tack that on to the end of one of your workouts. So if we have 3 to 4 days of lifting, and then getting the rest of that cardio training, those other days fitting in, you have a 7-day schedule right there of an activity to do every day. And for some people, you can walk, and that's tough enough for them. And you can do a walking meeting. If you think about Steve Jobs, you think about, I think Zuckerberg, and I think a couple other entrepreneurs and execs, they walk while they're having the meeting and they're talking. But what they're doing is they're helping their brain cells fire as well. You know, even composers back in the day and a lot of the greatest thinkers did these walking meetings, because when you're putting your body in motion, you're helping your brain fire on so many different aspects, which is going to help your creativity, is going to help your thinking as well. So I think that's a way to kind of put these two things together. And, you know, so once you got that schedule, the next step is to logically start to put these activities into your calendar, just like you do anything else. If you have a meeting with your shareholders, you have a meeting with your team, maybe you have a dentist appointment or something like that, that's in your calendar. So put the same thing in with your exercising, with your training, make it a non-negotiable. And it's just like any other meeting. And also what that does is it resists the temptation of having something else fill that sacred time that you're going to put to yourself. Because at the end of the day, you can only go so far as your health and body allows you. So even if you're leading right now, think how much better you could lead if you're really in your optimal self right now. You would be that much more effective, and to your team, to your family, and to everyone that they also have to take care of as well. So, I always tell people that, okay, say you have a company with maybe 30 or let's say 100 people. You're essentially responsible for those 100 people. You can multiply that because they probably have families as well. So let's say, my math's not exact here. Let's say that's 400 now, right? Because maybe they're helping other family members as well. So this is a huge tree that starts with you at the very top. So you have to make sure that you are in an optimal state because there's a lot of people that depend on you outside of just your family. That's an awesome responsibility. I think that's a blessing, but it also is one that must be taken seriously.
What was the Spider-Man quote?
With Uncle Ben. Yeah. With great power comes great responsibility.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
There you go. By the way, we have a long comment with a question, which I think it's quite relevant. So I want to kind of point it here. So coming from Momtio, thank you for being with us. I'm going to read the large comment with a question. Coming from a history where I went through anxiety disorder, I found that feeling when I totally turned habits and lifestyle around. Eating, workouts, mindset, sleep, etc. I found that challenging my mind and body on a daily basis bring the feeling of accomplishment and control over emotions. I see a lot of people struggle with battling the mind when the mind says, quote unquote, you can't do it. What would be your advice on this topic? I personally, but that's just me.
Yeah, I love that part about that happens all the time. And, you know, for me, I can speak for myself. Almost every run I do, I love David Goggins, by the way. I love the whole, some people think he's extreme, but I get it. I get it. It's a way to find yourself. And I think for a lot of people, physical activity is a great way to build self-confidence. It's a great way to really learn about yourself because you can't cheat the process. You can't hack it and take shortcuts with it. You either do it or you don't. And that's why I think it's a great way to build self-confidence because a key part of self-confidence is just keeping the promises and keeping the word to yourself. What better way to do that than to do physical activity? You're in total control of that. And what that does is it's transferable over to your career. It's transferable over to maybe having much more courage now to go start that business that you always wanted to start, ask for that raise, that promotion that you always wanted to do, or continue to have that aspiration to climb the C-suite. You know, dealing with anxiety, that's one reason why I train, actually, is for my mental health in terms of just calming my mind. There's nothing more calming for me than lifting weights. It's therapeutic. It's spiritual. Just like running, these things are spiritual and therapeutic for me. It really helps calm my mind. I'm normally a little anxious, a little high strung, but I have things in place now to help control that, to help mitigate it. And a big part of that is training. A big part of that is meditation. And you mentioned that voice that comes up. That voice is never going to disappear. It's never going to disappear. And I think that's a good thing, because if it disappeared, it might have us become more complacent. It might have us not reach our full potential then. You know, it's a constant battle every day. That's what I love about training. You do it one day, you feel great, but the next day you have to do it again. It's day one again. It's the same thing in business. You have a good day yesterday. Awesome. Great. You made your calls. Awesome. Today's a new day. What are you doing today? So you have to go earn it again. So I know that was a couple different ways of going about that statement that gentleman shared there. But
I'm curious. I'm actually curious, Julian, mm-hmm. What do you do when you wake up? Maybe you didn't sleep well. You know, you're like not feeling it, but you know it's important for you to go to the gym or do this thing that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have music's a big driver for me. You know, music is a way to get into a state. I mean, you can listen to some sad music, listen to some happy music. You know, that's the frequencies of music and sounds, different sounds, different frequencies conjure up different emotions. But for me, I have a dedicated playlist. You know, it's called Train Like You're Saving the World. I'm very into that. So I have like a theme song in my head all the time. I'm very into like the Mission Impossible. So Mission Impossible, Batman, James Bond. Those are like three archetypes that I love. And so I have a lot of their music. And so there's certain songs that when I play, it just snaps me into it. So even if I'm not feeling it, it just puts me in that place that is go time. So if I'm stressed out, whatever's going on, I get my clothes, get my gym clothes on, get that playing music, and I go outside and I'm like, this is a duty. This is an obligation. And for me also, I use a lot of stuff from my past. So I think about my dad, who would give anything to be able to walk because he had amputations. And I think about my grandfather, you know, who had a heart attack. I think about my other grandfather who's not here. I think about different relatives as well, who I saw growing up have complications with their health. So I have those things to kind of help drive me. So, but that's because I know myself and I know things that get me moving. And so I think about, even if it's not every workout's going to be good, not every day at work's going to be good. Some days done is better than nothing. You're not going to, and sometimes you have to have a week that is just ugly. But I think as long as you just keep moving, some days you have to crawl. You may not be able to run or walk. You just have to crawl. But nevertheless, I'm still moving forward. I'm still getting 1% better. And for me, that's a success. And so, and then I, like I said, having the gift of being a podcast host is that I get to talk to a lot of different people. And so I've learned now that a lot of my struggles is not just me. It's a normal thing. A lot of other entrepreneurs, a lot of other high performers go through these same types of things as well. Feel like an imposter, always feel like they need to do more. You name it, depressed, don't feel like getting out of bed. We only see the highlight reel. We only see, you know, this is like a basketball game. We'll see the 2-minute highlight reel. We'll see the slam dunks. We'll see the crossover. We'll see some of the big plays of the game, but we won't see the whole mundane 2 hours that game took. So I have to really keep that perspective in mind and just realize that you're not going to feel like it every day. That's just not the human thing. We're driven for comfort now. Our brain is designed to keep us safe. And a lot of things that we do now goes the opposite of that. So you just have to remember and fight against that. And it gets better. You get better at times with that. Some days you might lose to it, but you come back again. You review why you lost, debrief, and you come back and do it again. It's, you know, but it is a mental and emotional battle that a lot of people give into. And, you know, for all the health tools and gadgets that are available and that I use, a lot of health problems are really life problems or organizational problems or structural problems. So I had to learn to really emphasize these things, because without emphasizing this stuff, this foundation, it doesn't matter what cool, fancy tools and tests that you use, because, you know, the software is messed up. It doesn't matter if you can have the prettiest hardware, but the software is messed up. It's a mute point.
I love the fact that you create an environment that's supporting your goals. Mm-hmm. Like if you have cookies and chips in your kitchen, it's a lot more likely that you're going to go there and get a cookie, right?
You know, speaking on that, you're right, because I'm not really, some people are good with moderation. It's like, oh, I'm just going to eat a cookie. I'm just going to eat one cookie today and then that's it. I don't do that. I have a crazy appetite. I don't really just do one cookie or just one pastry. I don't do that. I can eat a whole, you know, I had a pizza maybe a couple months ago. I ordered 2 pizzas. Okay. I have a crazy appetite. I don't do leftovers. I eat, if I see the whole meal, I eat it. I see food, I eat it, I conquer it. So you have to know how you're wired. That's just not how I'm wired. You know, I got rid of my video games because I wasn't getting anything done. Because, you know, you're playing Call of Duty one match and then you lose. That is the worst feeling. I hate losing. And so if somebody's talking to me, now it gets personal. And so next thing you know, you're like this, your eyes are all, you're waking the next morning, your eyes are all red because you've just been playing all night. So it's like, it's an addiction. Some people could say it's an addiction, but this is where I say it's really important to know yourself. And a lot of high performers have this addictive type of personality. And they don't channel it to usually good things. This is why you see a lot of alcohol intake. You might see some illicit behaviors because those addictions are uncontrolled, unmitigated. They're not forwarded and targeted in a more empowering direction. So for me, exercise is that a little bit. It helps that addiction. It helps that craving. It helps calm me and center me to do things.
So do you use this technique yourself or recommend it to some of your clients, the technique of, you know, if you find a harmful habit that you initially at least substitute it with some more positive one? Like we were speaking before a podcast, you said, oh, I only drink one cup of coffee. Maybe you feel like drinking more coffee, but are you going to drink a cup of tea or like substitute with something that's more positive?
Yeah. So I have a cup of tea now. So I'm drinking a cup of tea. I have my water here as well, but I just like the feeling of sipping on something while you're talking or while you're reading or while you're writing. I just like that. It's just a good feeling. Then I also have decaf coffee as well. You know, because too much coffee, as I said, makes me anxious. I'm already a little all over the place, right? Already. So I don't need any more of a jolt. I have a natural jolt already. So, and then I have this accountability in my wearable. So I get to see the effects of coffee and what it does to my sleep. When I have too much coffee in the day, I get to see that my sleep is not as good. The quality of it, I get to see that my REM sleep's not as good. My deep sleep's not as good. My heart rate's up a little more. My respiratory rate's up a little more. And then that's going to affect the next day as well. So it has this cascade-like effect on there. So so that's why I created that. Now, for people, it really just depends because we're all different. And so that's really my thing is that I just really talk to the person and analyze the person. Like the tactics doesn't really change in terms of like, take this DNA test first. And then this is how we go about nutrition and all the stuff, yada, yada, yada. Right. But it's really finding a way that this can be a seamless integration into your existing and preferred life. I don't want any butting heads. A lot of times when people go about their health and fitness goals, it's health and fitness on one hand, and then it's life on the other one, and they're competing, right? You're forcing yourself to do things or eat or train in a way that's not congruent with where you want to be in life or how you want to go about life. And so you force yourself, of course you can do it for a few weeks, but what about 6 months? What about 10 months? What about a year and a half from now? How much congruence can they have then? So it's really thinking long-term, really looking at this like a business. And that's a key thing I always remind individuals is that what made you successful in your career, what made you successful in your business, these same principles can be applied to your health in the same way if you just start looking at it that way.
Where did your inspiration come from? Did you, I'm just more curious, did you have any sort of like you read this book or you join a course and you found this thing that brought you on a journey to become who you are today, mm-hmm. and to track your goals, to like to completely commit to changing your fitness, changing your lifestyle?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different key moments that pop up in my head. The very first key moment is when I first thought about health as like a 16, 17 year old, I played basketball. And I thought that when you get to like 30, life starts to go downhill from there, because that was my paradigm. That's what I saw. I saw people break down a little in their 30s. I got these achy joints and all this thing. I was like, man, this sucks. But then I saw an older gentleman that was running basketball, that was running courts with us as well, much older, phenomenal shape. I was like, man, who is this guy? Is he a mutant? Is he X-Men or something? You know, where's this guy from? Is he alien? I don't know. And so I talked to this guy and, you know, he gives me basic advice, but what he did more importantly, he planted a seed. The seed didn't sprout right then and there, but it was always in the back of my head now. Because for me, once I see something, I can't unsee it. Once I hear something and something that truly challenges my existing paradigm, I can't go back anymore. I think something like that they talked about in The Matrix. You get this choice, right? But for me, that was the paradigm that's like, I have more power and control over my destiny in my life than I think I had. And so who would I be if I could just be anyone, you know, and design this character? This is like a video game. I'm like a video game character. This is an RPG, right? And so I can build the attributes I want. I thought about myself. I thought about, how does this person dress? I thought about some of my favorite superheroes, some of my favorite characters, how they dress. I literally thought about that, right? And so I thought about, okay, I want to be, you know, I really love athletics. I wanted to be, you know, like an athlete. Okay, well, let's start training like an athlete. You know, I thought about, you know, how does Bruce Wayne dress and James Bond and things like that? Well, and let me put a tie on sometimes. Let me put a vest on, right? I feel a little more powerful. Once again, we're going back to the feeling. So I'm designing this character. But there's a key thing, though. Where you are right now, what you see in this physical world, this 3D world right now, it's probably going to be different than who you imagine yourself to be. There's this gap right now. So the key part then is how do you ignore reality? So you had to learn how to ignore reality, quote unquote reality. I had to become a little delusional. So, you know, so I started, I still do this. I have a recording of who I am, what I'm doing. I listen to it a couple times a day because I come from an environment. A lot of times, a lot of us are not around an environment that's just truly empowering to us. So we have to battle. We have to fight. So most people are in a lower frequency. They're in a state of fear. You know, the world's bad. It's all doom and gloom and all this stuff. So you have to fight against that. You know, you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to live in a bubble and avoid any negativity, avoid any temptations with food or anything. That's not reality. That's not practical. You know, life is not a laboratory that's perfectly clean in perfect settings. That's not how life is. Life is messy. So we have to do our best to fight against that. And so for me, my weakness was my mindset. I was always physically gifted. That's fine. But I really had to train my mental, my emotional, and my spiritual self. And so this was a key aspect of recording who I am, affirming who I am. I don't care what people tell me I am now. I don't care if people laugh at me right now. I don't care if people say, oh, Julian, why are you so dressed up? You're just sitting in front of a computer typing right now. Why are you so dressed up? You're not going to anybody's office, because this is who I affirm myself to be. This is who I am. This is how this character in my head, this is how he operates. And so you step into that. You know, a goal is not where you get to. A goal is where you come from. So in the future, this person that has these goals, how does this person act? Put this with your health. A person who has a great body fat percentage, excellent biomarkers, what are some of the habits that he does? Well, he probably stays on top of his exercising. He probably treats it like a business meeting. Very important. He probably is dedicated to his sleep. If he enjoys skiing right now at 30, it's very important to him. He's probably going to train his body in a way that he can do this at 60 and 70 and beyond. If family is really important to him, he's going to keep that in mind as he's training and doing certain things that he wants to be able to run with his great, great grandkids down the line. So it's really attaching the stakes, really bringing more responsibility into it. Because a lot of times we will do what we won't do for ourselves, we'll do for others. And so we can leverage those things. And I got all this just from talking to people, just going out, listening to stories. I was a mute for a lot of my life. I wasn't really that talkative. And so people just talk and tell me things. I just listened. And I read a different books, just a lot of different books, and listen to videos, listen to podcasts. I can burn through content quickly because I listen to things at 3x. And then I have time to reflect and think and come up with my own philosophy and then put it into practice. And so and that's kind of the process of that. I think I went all over a little different direction, if that made sense.
It's fascinating, man. Like, you create the character, you envision the character, and then your actions, your habits need to match the character that you want to design. And slowly but consistently, mm-hmm. you converge towards becoming the character and mm-hmm. believe that you are this character. You raise your standards, and now you have to live up to these standards. So your experience, your life also improves the quality of your life.
And that's the scary part. You mentioned you raise your standards. Like, a lot of us probably have this ideal vision, this ideal business in mind, but it's scary because there's a lot of uncertainty there. It's like, how am I going to rise to this level? You know, how can I lead this many people? You know, I've never been a quote unquote leader in my life or any of these things, right? How can I do that? And that's where it comes. It's beneficial then to come back and just take the step of today. How can I get closer to that ideal person just today? Maybe it's doing 2 to 3 things today, building the habit of discipline. So, you know, I think we talked about this, 2 to 3 things, you know, every day. What are these things, these key priorities that can really bring this character out? And that's kind of the overall process I did. And, you know, I thought about superhuman. What does superhuman mean to me? And I thought about using all this tech and everything to utilize, to, because I didn't like the existing paradigm of how they talked about aging, of, you know, the older you get, the more trips around the sun, the more you're supposed to slow down, the more you're supposed to have stubborn weight, be a lesser performing version of yourself. I didn't like that. It didn't make sense to me. And I didn't accept that. You know, I fought against that. That's not my ideal vision of that. And this is why I say the programming, brainwashing yourself with positive material, with empowering material, is key, because everyone around you is going to tell you differently. Most people are front runners. When your business is booming and people are knocking at your door and all this good stuff, they'll say, oh, I always believed in you. I always knew you would make it. Wait a minute. Weren't you the one that was telling me I was crazy like 5 years ago? Weren't you the one that said, you know, maybe you should just be a little more realistic. Just be a little more realistic. You know, that's not possible. You know, I haven't seen that in a paper. I haven't seen this in a scientific study yet. I haven't seen the research on this, right? I'm mocking certain people in my life right now. Hopefully they're not watching, but actually I hope they are watching. But you know, you keep these things in mind, because so it's really, really important to get your mind and emotions around this. It's so pivotal. It's not exciting. This part maybe not be exciting to people, but the results are exciting. And that's the same thing about going back to the end of, do I feel like getting out of bed sometimes to work out? Not really. But you know what I love? You know what feels good? Results. Oh, they are addicting. They are addicting. Getting compliments, let's be honest, they're addicting. I'm a little kid. I'm an only child, so I got a lot of compliments. So I still like to feel like a little kid. So when anytime you get a compliment out in public, it makes you feel good. It's the same thing with anything. So really leverage those things. Keep those things in mind. And I think that will really help people stay inspired, more so than motivated, more so than even saying I'm happy every day. That's a fleeting thing as well. That's not to be human. You can't just be happy all the time. That wouldn't be a human experience, because you couldn't be, if there was no sadness, then how would you know what happiness is, right? You got to have a yin and a yang.
Yeah, man. And as you said, results, right? This is what's motivating, producing results, seeing the progress, and combine that with what you mentioned previously, surrounding yourself with people mm-hmm. who will empower you, who will, you know, motivate you with the way they treat you and encourage you, but also with their results, mm-hmm. right? When you surround yourself with people who are winning, who are going to the gym every day, who are, you know, doing the cold calls in their business, and you become like them. There are so many research studies that show you that you transform, you get close to the people you're surrounded by. Like Absolutely. Even with, you know, like tangible things like financial results, mm-hmm. slowly but consistently, you start picking up beliefs, you start picking up their philosophies, you start acting like them, right? Because you're around them. And I wonder, what do you do to, you know, personally, what do you do to, there's many listeners, right? And mm-hmm. not everybody was born in such an environment. Maybe you don't choose people that your colleagues at work, sometimes if you work for a company. So what do you do? What would be your recommendation in terms of, you know, surrounding yourself with the right type of people?
So this is like forming a new circle. Me and my friend just had a conversation about this. And I think it's easier for me because I'm an only child. So I grew up being okay with my own company. Like I love my own company. I prefer it actually. I love taking trips by myself. I just like my own company. If I want to talk to people when I'm out, I will talk to people. So, but my friend is someone who's more of a people person and has a network that isn't necessarily going in the same direction as him. A lot of times they are talking more about the past, always living in the past, not future focus, not present focus. And it's like, what to do with that? Probably a few years ago, I would say just cut them all off and just leave it at that. But I'm a little nicer these days. I'm a little more reformed. And I thought about this. This is what I practice with myself because I'm pretty much in my hometown, but I don't really have a small circle now. It's not just everyone. I'm not the mayor anymore. And it's really limiting those interactions. Still having people in your life, you can't just get rid of everyone, nor should you. Because once again, you don't live life in a bubble. But it's limiting those interactions. And it's also being much more intentional with your conversations. So when they're talking about something negative, you can just reframe just subtly. You don't give it energy. If you don't give it energy and attention, it's going to dissipate and go away. So, you know, I can have family sometimes they're talking about, oh man, you know, it's getting crazy out here. Life's hard and all that. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't have time to think about that. You know, there's too much at stake here. We got a role to save, right? You know, and so I'll just change the subject. Not just like, so, you know, hey, look at the weather today. Not like that, but just very subtly ask a different question about that just to keep the conversation at least neutral and not going negative. So at least keeping it neutral. And so the next thing is when your environment's bad like that, or not even bad, but maybe you just feel isolated, you got to really leverage virtual mentors then. And that's what I did. That's where audiobooks come into play. That's where YouTube comes into play. That's where podcasts come into play, is that I have a lot of mentors I've never met. I sometimes send them like an email saying, hey, I really like this book or something like that. Thanks. And that's it. But using that information to have your virtual mentor network and really immersing yourself in that world. And the next thing is kind of just have to put yourself out there. So think about certain types of events or habits and hobbies that you like or that are interest to you and start going to those events. I know for myself, a few years ago, I was in therapy and I was talking about a bunch of different things and I always liked music. And so she was like, you talk about salsa music a lot. Why don't you just go salsa dancing or something? Right. And I was like, okay, I'll go try it. And so I went by myself. I went to the lesson. It was like an hour, but I said, I'm just going to go in there for 5 to 10 minutes. If I can handle the 5 to 10 minutes, that's a success. I'm allowed to leave. And so I went in there and I enjoyed myself. Now I don't do it as much right now, but that was an activity of putting myself out there and meeting people. And now I have a skill set. So whenever I go traveling anywhere, I can go to like salsa dancing or a bachata event, right? And I can meet like-minded people and start building connections that way. You know, with the podcast now, I know different people in different cities. So you have this network in. And then also you can ask people. So people that you admire, reach out to them. Like, let me tell you, there's nothing more than music to my ear than to hear like what I'm doing is helping and mattering. And it doesn't matter if you're getting paid for it or not. Just like something that I took time to do with a podcast. Because a lot of times if I'm doing an episode by myself, I'm speaking into a void. It feels like there's no one in here. It's just me speaking. I don't know who's listening. I don't know if it's useful or not. It's just me talking. I don't know if it's just me listening to myself, but to hear that it was a benefit to someone means the world to them. And so that's a way to do it. Cause that's how I learned some of this health stuff. I just reached out to people. I just had curiosity. And people are kind. A lot of times people think that the people at the top that you put at the top, the really high achievers, high performers, they don't have time for anyone. It's actually the opposite. The people who you think are inaccessible and super busy, those have been the most gracious, the kindest people compared to people maybe at your quote unquote peer level or whatnot. Because those people realize that they didn't get there by themselves and they are eager to help and give back. But the only caveat is when they tell you something or they recommend to do something, you need to go do it so they can know that you're serious. And if you do that, they're going to invest in you and pour into you. And so those are a couple of different things right there with the environment. But, you know, it's usually unrealistic to say, Just go leave tomorrow. Just leave your leave everything behind and start a new life. It's not really realistic. It's, you know, so in that moment, you can make a plan to eventually put yourself in a different setting. But you still have this period of being in this reality compared to the reality that you want to get to. So you make the best of it by creating a strategy around that and dealing with the cards that you have dealt. And it's the same thing with your health. There's certain things that people want to do. Maybe they can't do it right now. Their health is a certain way right now. And you deal with it. And you're making a plan to go to the reality that you desire. But for right now, you have to deal with what you have and work toward that. Because the only way to get to where you want to go is to accept where you are right now and move and act on that right now.
I love the fact that the metaphor with the video game character, right? Because it's like, even from a perspective of the people around you and the things that you consume, you can ask yourself, if I want my character to win, what kind of information I'm going to consume? Am I going to let him or her listen to the news? Or I want this person to be surrounded by people with abundance mindset, with you know, the smartest people in the area that I want to grow into, through podcasting, through audiobooks, through reading, through, like, how do I make this person, this character, to win? And this, by the way, this character is you, right?
Exactly. And I also have to say, I left this out. A big thing is identity, and not attaching and associating yourself with whatever situation you got going on right now. Meaning that growing up, I heard a lot that this person would say, obesity runs in our family, or our family just has poor genetics. So you are attaching, associating yourself with a particular illness, symptom, issue, problem, right? And you can hear this, you know, I used to tell myself, hey, I'm an introvert. I'm not really a people person. I don't like my voice. My voice is not good. So I'm affirming all these things I am. So of course I'm never going to do these things because I'm telling myself I'm not, right? So one of the first things is to dissociate yourself from whatever issue or problem you have right now. And in fact, just look at it as a situation. Even if you have, say you have 15 pounds to lose, 10 pounds to lose, whatever, and maybe your blood pressure is up a little more. Don't even say I have high blood pressure or I'm overweight or anything. Say I have a situation. I have a situation that I need to handle and take care of. You know, don't give it significance. Don't put it on a pedestal. It is what it is. Stay neutral with it. And because I don't want you to become that identity. Don't become this person. You know, you have the situation right now, but you're not attached to it. It's not a part of your, it's not who you are at all. Right. You know, who you are is this character in your head. And this is just part of the quest to get there, is that you just have to go through this one obstacle.
I love it, man. Since we're getting close to the end of this episode, I just wanted to also ask you, how do you control, maybe not control is not the right word, how do you take care of nutrition, you personally? Like, do you have any specific, and I would say some simple practical tips for the audience who probably were not so careful about the way they eat, so they can improve, their nutrition.
Yeah, nearly every strong fitness enthusiast is not eating enough protein. So I think a universal answer right now is to really work on increasing your protein intake. I'm fairly certain that most people are not eating enough protein. And, you know, one thing with protein is that it's the most thermic of the macronutrients, meaning that it's going to burn the most calories compared to like a fat, compared to like a carb. It's going to burn the most there. So by sitting here, you know, it's burning much more calories than maybe eating some carbs are. Nothing against carbs and fats, right? But this is a universal answer. Most people do not get enough protein in. And the next thing why it's also another benefit is that protein is much more satiating, and that it's going to keep you fuller longer, right? So it's going to help you to not have those cravings throughout the day. Secondly is a lot of people probably don't drink enough water, so they're a little dehydrated. So, and or they're going back with the food and not eating enough. They're probably a little electrolyte deficient as well. All of those things are going to signal to your body that you're hungry. It's going to give you these hunger pangs. Even if you're really not, it's just going to signal to that, because all this is chemistry. All this is connected to our bodies. And so even a slight dehydration can affect your cognitive abilities by like 2%. 2% is huge, especially when you have, like we talked about earlier, you have a lot of people that are depending on you. That matters. The inches matter in this game of high performance. You know, you think about a super, you've seen, let's go with football, the European football, right? We're not going to say American football, but football, right? A lot of games are 1-0. And a lot of times it's one small mistake that has this team lose, the World Cup and go home, right? One small mistake, 1-0, you know, this one tactical mistake at the 95th mark after some stoppage time, right? And they lose. Devastating, right? So inches matter. It's the same thing with this. So this is why, like, things like dehydration, it's a big deal. This is not nutrition related, but it kind of is going back to sleep. You know, optimal sleep helps regulate our brains as well in its optimal alignment in terms of functionality. And so you're not going to be as impulsive when you have optimal sleep. You're going to be able to think a little more rationally, use more of that prefrontal cortex instead of just acting on impulse and having more of your amygdala control you and how you go about the day. So that's going to help with nutrition as well. So it's this cascading like effect, and then exercise is going to help with nutrition as well. But protein, but sticking with that is protein, I would say hydration, and then usually vegetables, and then vegetables, eating that so you can get a plentiful micronutrients in. And then after that, it gets a little more specific depending on your goals and everything, depending on the amount of carbs and fats like that. But universally, most people are not eating enough protein, and most people are dehydrated and deficient in some nutrients. And just covering that basis up and taking care of that, you'll already start to notice a difference. And then you can add on some of this other extra stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much, Julian. By the way, when you mentioned the football games, I was always wondering, because we look at the players on the screen on the TV, and it looks like a FIFA video game, right? It's like they're this perfectly, you know, peak performing people, but we don't realize these are human beings. Some of them didn't sleep well. Some of them ate burgers yesterday. Like you know, so all these things are making a difference. Like the small things are making a difference. So thank you so much for reminding us about the small details, which, if we build the right habits over time, have going to make a big difference. But since we're at the end of the episodes, I just want to kind of wrap it up here and give you a chance to, first of all, let us know where could people get in touch with you. Who are the people that you like to serve most? Who are the people that you know, should get in touch with you? Where could they find you? And once again, please remind us, where could people find your podcast?
Yeah, so the podcast is Executive Health and Life. And, you know, if you haven't already, give this man a review. Give this man a follow and a like as well. This man's doing great work. He's interviewed some fantastic people. He's an excellent host as well. So first and foremost, you know, I have to recognize you for that. The website is executivehealth.io is where you can find a bunch of information. Or if you're watching this on LinkedIn, you can just connect with me here. And the type of people, once again, it's like, first and foremost, it's a certain type of attitude that you want more out of life. You want to be the very best that you can be. You want to keep full pedal to the metal but hitting the brakes a little bit. And then the type of person is usually, like I said, a CEO, executive, or founder who is had some growth right now. And, you know, maybe they let their health slide a little bit in the name of success and growing the business, and now they're looking to kind of bring that back while still taking it to the next level with their health and business and their life.
And they don't need to be physically in the same location as you are.
No. The perk of being physically in the same location as me is that you get to meet me in person, or we can have coffee and stuff like that when we talk and everything. But no, everything is remote, and then like a lot of the lab tests and everything, I can ship it out to pretty much anywhere in the world.
Well, thanks so much, Julian. You guys heard the man. If you want to get in touch, Julian Hayes II, you can find him on LinkedIn. Get in touch. If you're one of these executives, if you're one of these entrepreneurs, make sure to reach out, and I'm sure you get a lot of great results, not just with your business, but also personally with your health, with your fitness. And also, it's always good to have somebody in your corner and improve other things in life as well, which is something that we entrepreneurs often, you know, not prioritize.
Yeah, it's a transference of things. Is that you know, the things that have my health has helped me become a better leader, because the first step of leadership is to be able to lead yourself. What better way to prove your leadership capabilities than to take care of your health? You know, that is already displaying to the world and telling the world something right there. This person has discipline. This person is consistent. This person is able to delay gratification. All these things are excellent attributes to, once again, building a great company, building a great team, or just building a great startup.
Thanks so much, Julian. Thanks everybody for listening, and see you once again next week at the next episode of Productivity Mastery. Have a fantastic day and make sure to pay attention to your health. Hopefully you got inspired for this episode to do that. I'm definitely going to check up on the things that I do. So have a great day and see you once again next week. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to my monthly newsletter by visiting stoyanyankov.com, and also learn about the Perform methodology and the Perform book, as well as our various personal and team coaching offers. Stay tuned and keep performing.